Warning. This podcast may contain spoilers for whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoots Bronson.
And I am S. Foster.
That's right. And you tuned in to another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast, where we give you our very own reviews and takes of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. What's up, bro?
Man, it's been an insightful day, man. But we definitely got an interesting one today. And this was just one. Yo, I was throwing shit at the fence. I didn't know this one was gonna hit. When I said it to you, I didn't think you was gonna, you know, I didn't think you was gonna catch it. But
yeah,
I was like, okay.
And what's crazy is this motherfucker is on. They got this trial going right now too. So
yeah, so we gotta be careful.
Yeah, I wonder if this will have any kind of, you know what I'm saying, effect.
Any credence on it, yeah.
Yeah. But before we do that, man, we got to get into a segment that, you know what I'm saying, we like to help everybody else out with, get them a little something extra on top of what we already giving them. We call it What We Watching. Let's do this.
Yes, sir.
What We Watching.
All right, what you got, bro?
All right, so what I got, man, it ain't nothing new, but because of, I don't want to call it an event, but you know, a passing happened the other week, kind of wanted to kind of refresh my memory on one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, me personally. Because of the passing of O.J. Simpson, he was in the news and all that type stuff. I was like, man, you know what? I said, I'm going to go back and watch O.J. Made in America. Mm-hmm. And it's just as good as the other two times that I watched it. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just he's a very intriguing dude, man. You know, he was a guy that you couldn't really put your finger on it, man. And then, you know, the things that was going around with, you know, with him being on It Is What It Is with Cam and Mace, a lot of people, you know, looked down upon Cam and Mace, and some people didn't, you know, but they did take a shot. And it's not a lot of people who would take that shot. Right. And even with that being said, like the dude is interesting. I mean, that's one thing I would say about that guy. But I will say, for if we have any newcomers on here, me personally, I think that's one of the best episodes we've done on this podcast. So y'all can go back in the archives and look that up, you know what I'm saying? Type in OJ Made in America. We did an episode on that a couple of years ago. And that's my What We Watching. Because of the passing of him, I went back and watched OJ Made in America, all five parts.
That's dope. Excuse me. For me, I went back and got on Amazon Prime Video and finished up season two of Invincible. It's not as good as the first season, but I think this one is a lot more, you know what I'm saying, like invested in the story. As far as diving a little bit deeper in the story, trying to give you a little bit more substance. But that first season, man, that was hard hitting. It was right there. But season two is a little bit more for the storytelling side and, you know, trying to cover corners and stuff like that. So, yeah, go check that out. It's on Amazon Prime. Prime Video. I keep saying Amazon Prime Video. Prime Video, Invincible Season 2. So, before we get started on our main feature, man, I do want to say a congratulations and a salute to 50 Cent. He just opened a 956,000 square foot film studio, which is going to be the second biggest black film studio in the world.
Behind Tyler Perry.
Yep, behind Tyler Perry. So 50 Cent has opened his own film studio. An amazing feat for somebody who, you know what I'm saying, came up through hip hop, started off rapping, you know what I'm saying, conquered that dream, then ended up doing movies and acting, conquered that dream. Now he's been a producer and he's giving stars a whole new life through these, you know what I'm saying, shows that he's been putting out. And he's conquered that dream, and now he's owning his own film studio. So 50 Cent, salute to you. Congratulations. And, man, can't wait to see what he does next.
Well, yeah, man, congratulations on that, man. Because when you got your own studios, you really kind of do your own thing, really. You know what I'm saying? You don't need nobody's permission for anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You shoot. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are, you know, certain bylaws that you got to abide by. But at the same time, you don't need anybody's approval. You got your own shit. So
right.
Congratulations to him, man. For real, for real.
Absolutely. That makes it a lot easier for him, too. All right. So, man, listen. Like you said, you ain't know this was going to stick. You're just throwing shit at the
game.
You know what I'm saying? But, man, this motherfucker stuck like glue. Okay?
Okay.
Like I told you, I started to watch this and I fell asleep. And I got up, turned it back on. And this time, you know, usually when you turn it back on, you try to, you know, start where you left off at. I said, just let this motherfucker run. So I ended up watching it again. Boom, let it run. And I was like, man, okay, this shit got real interesting. Toward the middle, it get real interesting. So rewatch it again just in case there's some stuff I didn't miss. I mean, just in case it was some stuff that I missed. And man, it's a hell of a doc, man. We're talking about Stormy, the Stormy Daniels documentary on Peacock. And this pretty much covers a tad bit of her career, a tad bit of her life before her encounter with one Donald J. Trump during his run for presidency and his actual presidency. And
the run-in was before he was a Celebrity Apprentice when the whole
I'm talking about the trial, the lawsuit and everything else. During his run for presidency and his actual presidency, where a lawsuit was filed for sexual harassment, amongst some other things. And this is a firsthand look on not just how a greedy decision ruined her life, but just how constant bad decisions left her in a place of just, I don't even really know how to put it. That's actually perfect. Disarray. Like, she just was making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. So, starting off, she talks about her, you know what I'm saying, her life growing up. She is, you know what I'm saying, a young girl from Baton Rouge who ends up starting off in stripping and exotic modeling, so on and so forth. And she's getting like all of these offers and all of these different things to do all of these photo shoots and all of this other stuff. She meets a friend. Her friend basically tells her, come out to California. I'm doing a shoot. Maybe you can get some work out there. Ends up working with some talent scout, and they do some test shoots. She ends up working for a company called Wicked. And that was her entrance into the adult film entertainment industry, or the adult entertainment industry. Once she was doing that, she eventually ended up becoming one of the biggest stars in adult entertainment industry. She ended up becoming a producer, making her own films and everything else. And this leads us to her her first interactions with Donald Trump, which, like you stated, was way before the presidency, everything else like that. This is when Donald Trump is, like you said, on The Apprentice, and he's at like the height of his career as far as like an actor or entertainment celebrity. He's at like the height of his career. This motherfucker is clotheslining Vince McMahon in WWE. You know what I'm saying? He on Monday Night Raw, every other show. He got his own TV show with The Apprentice. This motherfucker's doing commercials with Domino's. Like, he's killing the game right now. So what was some of your thoughts, some of the things you kind of observed watching it up until that point?
Up until that point, you know, I mean, I didn't really even know anything about Stormy Daniels. You know what I'm saying? Until even when this stuff came out and people were saying that she was a porn star, I didn't even know she was a porn star. I've never seen her any of her porn. So,
I know them boobs from anywhere.
All of that was new to me. All of it was new to me.
I remember, I don't mean to cut you out, but okay, so it was a point in time where we had the Playboy channel, and I used to sneak and watch that motherfucker like a lot. And she said she was signed to Wicked, but with Playboy, you know, like they do things with certain people who are already signed, and like they'll do like exclusive shit. So she had one where she was like exclusively doing this, like this one thing for Playboy. Oh my goodness. Shit was crazy.
Yeah, see, I missed that. So, I mean, I was surprised to even see that, you know, how she even came about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just basically, you know, she was I think the girl went to school with her.
Went to school together. Because maybe she was at a party. And she was 17. She pulled up in this car.
And she was a purple Camaro.
Yeah, she was like, "How the fuck did you pay for that?" She was like, "Oh, I'm a stripper."
Yeah, and so then she goes, and then like, so she, you know, said how much money she made her first night and how quick she made it. She was like, "Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. This that joint then."
Yeah.
So she was like, you know, and she showed a picture with it. She bought a Mustang joint.
Mm-hmm.
Bought her a classic Mustang. Went and bought her boobs and stuff. And like you said, you know, a friend told her to come out to California. But like, I didn't know that, you know, she was the raping porn videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, all this stuff was new to me. I was like, wow. Like, I didn't, you know, because when the way that they perceived her in the media, you know what I'm saying? They were just calling her a porn star. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so then with them saying it that way, it's demeaning. But something that I wanted to have a conversation with you about is how porn star, well, that term, in my opinion, and then I'm gonna ask yours, around those times when she was like really popping, you know what I'm saying, early 2000s and shit like that,
mm-hmm.
that shit was demeaning, right? But like now, you say porn star, is to me, it's like it kind of flipped. It's not really demeaning anymore because
it depends on who you're talking to when you say, or who you're talking about when you say.
Yeah, because now you got a lot of rappers, you got a lot of basketball players.
No, I'm talking about then in 2000. It depends on who you were talking to.
What? Yeah.
Or talking about when you say demeaning, right? Because if you're talking about like middle America and the common people in that vicinity, then but you know what I'm saying, especially like along the Bible Belt and all that. But when you're talking about certain people, like, yeah, maybe if you talked about Stormy Daniels and the crowd that she garnered, then they would talk bad about her. But if you bring somebody like Pinky up, You know what I'm saying? Like, we never talk bad about Pinky. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the women that knew who she was and what she did, they didn't talk bad about Pinky. Like, the audience that she garnered, nobody talked bad about that. Actually, they were more like rock stars than anything else.
Yeah.
So it depends on, you know what I'm saying, the crowd that you're talking about. You know what I'm saying, to mainstream America, yeah. She was that. It was definitely looked down upon if you was doing porn, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that nowadays it's not, well, now it's still, like you said, it's still that demographic, middle America, very Christian people and stuff like that. But like, it's starting to be looked at in a way of like, oh, well, it's not as bad, or it's not as bad. Because I think because there's more education along with it now. You know what I'm saying? When you hear about the amount of testing that they got to do. You know what I'm saying? And then you hear about, you know, the people who, like, look at these people and it's like, yo, oh man, you know, my fantasy is to, you know, do a porn star or whatever. But I just think that it's not necessarily viewed the same. And I think to see what this woman ended up going through,
yeah,
like it was, I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of like when you were saying when she kept having bad decision after bad decision.
Yeah,
it's like damn, man. If my man never, and this is a question, if my man never ran and won, or either or, would this would have gotten to this big of a deal? Is what I'm saying. Donald Trump never would have ran.
We would have never heard about this if that was the case, right? If he wasn't running for, if he wasn't running for president, or if he didn't have any kind of, you know, political affiliations or none of that, this wouldn't have been nothing but tabloid news. You know what I'm saying? Like everything else was. It only got heightened to this point because of the fact that he was running for president. He ended up becoming the president. And it was basically like they outed him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was weird the way that it even all came about. He running for president, and then it was the one lady, what's her name? Gina Rodriguez?
Yeah, Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah, who was like her spokesperson, and she was an ex-porn star. And then she was like, yeah, we should sell this story about how you used to, you know what I'm saying, sleep with Donald Trump or be around Donald Trump. And it was like, why the fuck would you? Because even she was like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, I don't think we should do that. I don't really think nobody has to know about nothing like that. But her friend was adamant about doing it. Remember, she took it upon her own. Like, she started sending in letters to news outlets, excuse me, and all of those different media outlets. And finally, the guy with the, what was it, the National Enquirer? Not the National Enquirer. Was it the National Enquirer?
I think it was. Because I don't think it was TMZ.
What's his name? Decker? Or something like that? Something like that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Decker.
Yeah, so he had heard about it, got word of it, talked to Gina Rodriguez, and, you know, that's when he hit Trump up like, hey, is somebody out here shopping around a story about you, you know, having an affair with them? Now, before we even get to this point, I want to talk about the actual interaction that they had, the initial interaction that they had,
yeah,
which they end up having sex, right? Because the one thing that I always pay attention to, especially in documentaries, because, you know, usually documentaries are biased, depending on who is doing the who's doing the documentary, is going to have whatever side of the story that they believe is, you know, true. And what I found odd was is that they were trying to make it seem as if he raped her, like in a weird way, because she was saying how they had sex. And she was like, I didn't feel comfortable having sex with him. And then it took me back to when I was a young girl, when she had got sexually assaulted as a young girl. And then she was like, but I knew I didn't say no, even though I knew I should have said no. And it was just weird because I'm like, okay, I don't think that that's what really happened, right? Because it's a lot of gray area in her story. Her story was, when they first met up, you know what I'm saying? They was at the golf, he gamed her up and she was with it. Go to the hotel. He didn't come down, so she had to go up to his room. When she go into his room, he still got his pajamas on. So she say, quote unquote, she made fun of his pajamas. And then he instantly went to go switch them, which is weird for her to even bring that part up, right? And then they had a conversation or whatever. Now, mind you, she says that when they have this conversation, he's not trying nothing crazy. He's not trying to have sex with her. He's not doing nothing of that. All they had to drink was water. It wasn't no alcohol involved, no drugs involved, right? And then he was basically complimenting her. He was telling her how he thinks that she'll be good at certain things if she wants to try her hand in actually producing, you know what I'm saying, like Hollywood-type films. Then he thinks that maybe The Apprentice would be a good spot for her because it'll give her some type of exposure, so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't trying nothing. He wasn't touching her. He didn't do none of that. Then he says, then she says she goes to the bathroom. And when she comes out the bathroom, all of a sudden she finds herself, quote unquote, cornered. And then they're having sex. And he's telling her how beautiful she looks and how good she looks, so on and so forth. But she didn't say no. She was saying that it was consensual, which would, of course, not make it rape, but the way that she was saying it was like she was trying to set it up to say she was being raped. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of looked at it more like, because everything that you're saying is true. Like, she did say it was consensual and all that type stuff. She said when she came out the bathroom, he just had on, you know what I'm saying, black underwear. Kind of like saying, like, basically the audacity to think that, you know, who you are, you're just, you know, basically assuming that I want to have sex with you type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so the way that I kind of took it was when I think she was trying to say, because she brought up the fact that he was 60. And I think at the time, she was in her mid-30s, if I'm not mistaken.
She was in her early 30s.
So she was like in her early 30s and he was 60. I think what she was trying to say, in my opinion, I can't speak for her, but it kind of sounded like she was trying to say, like, yo, I didn't want to have sex with him. But I think that she kind of looked at it like, well, since you're in here and you're a black underwear, I think she's looking at it like, if I don't do this, I may not get this apprentice thing that we've been talking about.
Cap, man. Because how do you go from when you... Because first and foremost, she played it off like she wasn't even fucking with old boy like that.
Yeah, she said no initially when he asked. And then she said somebody kind of talked her into doing it, and then that's when she went.
Exactly. So when she first get in here, you cracking jokes on the motherfucker. Oh, you got them old ass pajamas on. You like Hugh Hefner. Maybe he want his pajamas back. That's how she portrayed it.
Yeah.
Like she went in there clowning them. Now, how does it go from that to then finally you coming out the bathroom and you feeling pressured to have sex? Because it ain't like he was pressing up on you. My man just had his drawers on.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But
she didn't say that he forced her or none of that.
Yeah, she clearly said that he did not force her.
That's what I'm saying. The next thing you know, they end up on the bed fucking. Don't make no sense. You can't on one end try to say that you felt coerced, and then when you came in there, you was this fucking almighty. Well, I ain't even trying to play it up like that, but you had this air about you. You had this confidence about you, and all of a sudden that confidence was gone. That air was gone.
I mean, to play devil's advocate though, it's kind of like, you know, she could have looked at the situation as in, okay, so we're fully closed. When we're having a conversation, I go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. I come back, and now you ain't got nothing on but your underwear. So basically, that's telling me, like, all right, so for you to do this quote-unquote favor for me, I'm going to have to do a favor for you. You know what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure you see me on camera. You're going to want me to do some of those things to you, and that's why you got your underwear on. That's kind of like, you know, the great 21 Savage says it best. He said, you know what I mean? Don't come to my house at 2 a.m. and sit at the edge of the bed. You know what I mean? Like, you know why you came over here at 2 a.m. I mean,
yeah, like, but even still though, like, to me that's corny, right? Like, because even if he had his jaws on, all right, cool. First and foremost, when she talked about the apprentice, she was saying that she didn't even believe he can get her on there.
Yeah, he said he got this one. He said he got this one. What he called it?
I got one spot that I could pick, and they can't argue it.
Yeah, a wild card or something like that. It was something that he had said.
So she already thinking in her head, this motherfucker ain't about to get me on no apprentice. You feel me? So that's already in your head. So you can't say that you was thinking of getting on the show and maybe he wouldn't put you on the show. You can't say that because you already said that you didn't think this motherfucker was going to put you on there.
Man, I think all this is Stormy. Don't want us to look at this situation like she wanted. Like she, now, don't get me wrong. She said she voluntarily did it, but I think what she's saying is with the way that he looks and all of that type of shit, you know, you look at the guy that she was married. I'm not saying he was a prize or anything, but I'm just saying you look at her husband, you look at Donald Trump. I mean, it's kind of, you know what I mean? But I think she's trying to say, like,
one just don't got the money. I'm dead ass. Yeah. They the same person, one just don't got the money. Because we going to get into her husband, Glenn or Gwen or whatever this nigga
name is. Yeah, Glenn.
He's
a
bitch. He's a full-fledged bitch.
Man, look, we'll get to him. Like you said, we'll get to him. But, no, all I'm saying about the situation is I think the way she want to perceive this and for it to come off, and like I said, I'm playing devil's advocate here, I think that she just don't want us to think that she's, like, attracted to him and like wanted to have sex with him just to have sex with him. You know what I'm saying? I think why she was trying to word it the way that she was wording it.
We know it wasn't just to have sex with him. Listen, she sold the pussy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. And they fucked more than one time. She kept trying to say, we only had one sexual encounter. Nah, you didn't. You had way more than one sexual encounter.
It feel like for this to go on as long as it did, I mean, for one smash, I think you're right on that one.
So this is the thing. She talking about, oh, we had sex one time, but he was calling me and we met up a couple other times and he would just always interact with me. So you already talked about how you ain't like the nigga and this and all this other shit. But you constantly picked up his calls. You constantly met up with him and hung out with him. You constantly went places with him and did shit with him. So after a while, it's starting to seem like you was fucking with this nigga. Now, whether you liked him or not is subjective. We can't really gauge that. But it looked like you was cool with dude.
Until you got the phone call that you couldn't be on
The Apprentice. Exactly. And then once you got that phone call, her exact words was, then I stopped answering the phone because, I mean, what did I need him for?
Exactly.
So, this is the thing. once again, like I said, it seems like she makes some real bad decisions. Because what it seemed like is, you was fucking with dude for this apprentice spot that you didn't believe what you was going to get at first. But the more and more you start fucking with him, the more and more it starts seeming like you could possibly get this role. You knew it was going to be some money involved. You knew it was going to be some opportunities involved. So you just start playing along and doing your thing. And you ended up getting burnt out in the end. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now that that shit happened, some time passed. She meet Glenn or whatever. They get married, which is her third marriage. They get married, have a kid, all this other shit, everything cool. This nigga's a drummer or musician or whatever the fuck he was aspiring to be. And it seemed like they had a decent marriage. It seemed like they had a pretty good marriage. So much so that he even started doing porn for her.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was a very interesting thing. You know, then the truth start coming out about this nigga. He started talking about how he was getting insecure because, you know, he wasn't as big as the other actors, or, you know, he didn't feel like he could live up to those guys and all this other weirdo shit that don't matter. And so that's the first glimpse I seen of him where I'm like, oh, this nigga's a bitch. First thing come to my mind. Why the fuck does that matter? Your girl done already told you, I want to continue to do this, but I want you to be a part of this with me. Because I don't feel comfortable doing this and you're not involved. So you then start doing it. And now that's your thing now. If you felt that way, why didn't you stop? Or why didn't you try to get her to stop? You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a rocky slope, man, because I think in those type of situations, mm-hmm. you gotta know what you're getting yourself into.
Absolutely.
Like you can't come with the insecurity shit. You can't come with the yo, like I want you to stop. That's just like in Players Club, you know what I'm saying? How Lance gonna get mad at, you know what I'm saying, Diamond for stripping at the Players Club when you met her at this Players Club. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, you can't expect this woman to turn her whole life around, you know what I'm saying, when she out here being a star. Now, it'd be different if you met her in her 40s.
Right.
All right, like, yo, you know what I'm saying, you kind of start to age out a little bit anyway, mm-hmm. you know, like, let's chill on it or whatever, but you met this woman when you met her, you can't expect her to change. But like you said, if you walking around here, first of all, looking at all these other dudes' meets and all this type of shit, like, yo, like, yeah, like, dude, because at the end of the day, now, like I said, you do gotta be a certain type of individual. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, when you think about a guy like Adam 22 and all the shit he got going on, like, wow. You gotta be a different individual psychologically, you know what I'm saying, to deal with a lot of the shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that field. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're gonna be, you have to look at it like, yo, she married me. There's a reason why she married me. Like, don't worry about these other fucking dudes, meat size and all this type shit. Like, if you like she said, he knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
From the jump and from the rip. So why are you trying to switch up? And then she brought you in because she was like, yo, like, I don't really want to be doing these other dudes like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are you insecure about at this point? It'd be different if it was a situation like you are, like, the fucking cameraman or some shit. And you're filming all of her, you know what I'm saying, sex scenes and all of this.
Watch this shit every time.
Yeah, and she asked you to come in, so it's kind of like, what are you really bitching about at this point?
Right.
You ain't got nothing to complain about, because I'm pretty sure in other situations, people who date porn stars or whatever the case may be, like, I'm pretty sure some of their situations were a lot different from yours, because they didn't bring their man in and turn them, that went out to a star, but turn them into porn. Like, I don't know, man. Glenn always kind of like, and then just like the arguments that they start to have. Now, I do get him being upset about, you know what I'm saying? Because this is the thing when it comes to Stormy and Glenn, right? She told him about Donald Trump, but said they never had sex.
Right.
So yeah, then when it's...
Real quick, because I don't even think that was the thing. I think that what she basically did was, I think she omitted the fact that her and Trump had sex.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. She said she did. Yeah.
No, I'm saying like not just the fact like she just didn't blatantly tell him. It was just one of them things where it was just like, yeah, you know, I kicked it with Donald Trump for a little bit. And I think that's as far as it got.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, it wasn't one of those things to where if you chilling with somebody and they tell you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I kicked it with Donald Trump. The first thing in your mind is, did you fuck Donald Trump? Like, he tried to fuck you. That ain't even the first thing in your mind. You like, damn, you kicked it with Donald Trump? What that motherfucker like? And you know what I'm saying? Even when Seth Rogen was talking about it. Seth Rogen was like, yeah, you know, she was telling us about his hair. We was asking about his hair. Then nobody give a fuck about if you fucked him or not. That wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, we didn't ask her that. We were talking about his hair. We wanted to know if, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it was more so of an omission than it was just, I just didn't blatantly tell him. You know what I'm saying? Or I tried to avoid telling him. It was just one of them things, like, it really wasn't no need to fucking tell the motherfucker.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, you know what I'm saying? You married or whatever. And you fucking, you go, I don't know, you go to a fucking, you go to a bar or some shit. And come to find out, you know what I'm saying, one of your exes up in there. You know what I mean? She comes talk to you real quick. Oh, you know, what's up? You know, and y'all could have just talked. That's all it was. But then, it's one of those situations, you get home. Be like, oh, you have a good time, babe. Yeah, yeah, man. You know, me and the guy, we kicked it. You know what I'm saying? Had a few drinks, we shot some pool, and like, you know, but you ain't gonna say who it is. No. You know what I mean? It's like that's what she did. She was like, yeah, I hung out with Trump and all this type of shit, but like, she ain't gonna like, yeah, she didn't tell him. And my man was like, yo, I had to find out from a fucking interview on TV. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
he did.
Like,
this is my thing. You married to her now. This shit happened before y'all even met. What the fuck difference do it make if she fucked Donald Trump?
At that point, it don't matter.
Exactly.
It really do not matter. I'm big into that.
Who cares?
I'm big into that. Like I don't do this whole little, oh, you know, how many bodies you got? You know what I'm saying? What all you and such do? I'm not into all of that type shit because at the end of the day, I know what I did, you know what I'm saying, before you. You know what you did before you. It don't fucking matter. None of that shit fucking matters.
Right.
But, like, I think that the reason why Glenn did get mad at one part of it is the fact that when that 130K, she said it went into Glenn's account. For some reason, I don't know why it went there. But
because Glenn and her had joint accounts.
Well, yeah.
Now, this is what I think. They had a joint account. She also had a separate account for her business or whatever the case may be, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is the thing that pissed me off. Remember when he was talking about her initially, he was saying how she was going around, she was stripping, and she was working in the industry, and he didn't have an issue with that. Once he figured out that she slept with Trump, and now her face is all over the media and all this other stuff, he then had an issue with that, because he brought up the fact that she was going around on tour going to all of these different strip clubs and all this, blah, blah, blah. So that was always something for him. Even the porn star thing was always something for him. He just wasn't never man enough to open his mouth and say something and tell her, you know what I'm saying, how he really felt. But once again, another one of her bad decisions of not telling her husband about, you know what I'm saying, the Donald Trump thing, you know what I'm saying, not being honest about what was really going on, because she, when the money came in, she like, yeah, it's going to be some money coming in from Donald Trump. This nigga like, the fuck you mean it's going to be some money coming in? Why is it money coming in from Donald Trump? As any husband would be. Who, yeah. How the fuck are you just getting some money from Donald Trump? That's not, that shit don't even happen. This nigga don't even pay the people that work for him. So how are you getting paid? You know what I'm saying? How are you getting some money out this motherfucker? And with that, I think that to me, that was the only time I seen Glenn in any sort of positive, okay light, was the fact that he questioned her about this money. That's when she lied to him, of course, and he had to find out everything else. In that little small amount of time, I was like, okay, I see a little something. And then after that, he continued to talk, and I was like, yeah, this nigga's a bitch. I'm sorry. He kind of divorced her. Well, ain't no kind of divorced her. He did divorce her. Left her, took the kid. Pretty much left her with shit.
Well, not.
But
technically, she gave him custody because she felt that she was in danger.
Well, no.
So she was like,
let's get into it, because the truth of the matter is, it wasn't no. She was using that to say that, but I know that's not what it was. The truth of the matter was, is that what's this nigga name? Nick.
Nick the lawyer?
No, the cameraman.
The cameraman. Oh yeah, that she ended up having a.
Yeah, she ends up having an affair with the cameraman because this motherfucker is constantly around, right?
Yeah.
A lot of shit going on, a lot of pressures with the media and everything, with the
a lot of curiosity,
right? And eventually they end up having this semi-relationship.
They said brief.
Or an affair. They said it was what?
Brief.
Yeah, I bet it was. I'm sure it fucking was. So basically, you know what I'm saying? They have this little stint of a relationship, an affair, if you will. He finds out because he already thinking she done fuck Trump. This bitch fuck anybody. So now he just don't flat out trust her. Take the kid. Hey, he get the fuck out of Dodge, bro. You know what I'm saying? My nigga, his house. He ain't waste no time, no hesi.
Oh, man.
And she still stuck with the cameraman. Wild game. But once again, bad decisions. She made some very, very bad decisions. She let all of the attention and fame go to her head, right? Mm-hmm. She started to be on television shows and getting interviews, and then it was talks of a book. She got this real famous lawyer, Michael Avenatti, who is a scumbag of the highest proportions.
Yes.
But it was one interaction with Michael Avenatti that she had that lets me kind of know who she is as a person.
Are you talking about right before she went on The View to talk about the book?
It might have been right after she got off. It was either before she got on or after.
So,
yeah. So he comes to her. He's like, "Yo, you know, dude, you did a great job out there. You know, you did. You know, you represented yourself well. And, you know, I talk about you all the time. I talk about how great you are and how beautiful you are and da, da, da. And it's just, it's so easy to talk about you and to tell your story and da, da, da. And, you know, and it's so easy to represent you as a client. And you could see the fire in her eyes. She was like, oh, shit. I'm talking about floodgates open. They was there. She says, okay, if you're going to keep complimenting me, I'm going to take my clothes off because that's my defense mechanism. So having her said that makes me think. When Trump was in the room with her, he was giving her hella compliments. Oh, you're beautiful. You know, I can't believe, you know, somebody like you is, you know, doing this. I mean, like, you're super intelligent. You know, you got a mind. I mean, you just brilliant. And she suddenly comes out the bathroom all of a sudden, and it's time to get it on. Glenn said the same thing. Glenn talked to, told her how beautiful she was, how amazing she looks, and all this other shit. And what happened? They get married, have a kid. The Nick nigga, he do the same thing. Talk about how beautiful she is, how good she looks on camera, da da da. Now they fucking. So the thing is this bitch is trauma bonding with all of these guys. That's really what this is. She's trauma bonding with all these guys. Because every time a guy compliments her and tells her something about herself and makes her feel good, her first instinct is to fuck this nigga.
That's a great observation. And then also to add to that, when I had a great point, but you had kept going and now it's kind of slipping. It was one part that, oh, when she was getting ready to go on, I can't remember if it was SNL joint. Did you find that? I get it. I understand. You're a porn star. You're a stripper. You used to being naked. I understand. But you got a dude on the floor, and there's another dude with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
But you just getting ready, topless. You know what I mean? When you know what I'm saying? When you got, at this point, you got famous titties at this point.
Well, that, to me, that part wasn't really weird. She a porn star.
I don't know, but this is the thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm thinking she's already in the fuck those dudes already.
The Nick dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, when it comes to Glenn, it's kind of like, I can see why he was probably assuming that she probably, you know what I'm saying, end up giving up the skins at that point.
Well,
I just thought, I get it, and I do understand what you're saying. I did look at it like she is a porn star. She's used to it. She's stripping. I mean, she was on a fucking tour. Yo, that's crazy as fuck. I ain't never heard of a fucking stripper going on a tour, my guy, to different cities.
Are you for stripping? Real?
I ain't never heard no shit like that. I don't go to strip clubs. But
I thought, don't freaking them no more either. But no, yeah.
Like, I just thought that like, you Cardi, just...
Cardi was one of the ones that did a tour. Shit, it's a bunch of them out there that... Dude. I mean, that's what they do. Like, and the thing is this is the thing. You got to remember, when she was stripping at... And on the tour, she was considered a porn star then. She wasn't a stripper then.
Yeah.
The stripping days was over. It's just, that's what they do. Like, so, so porn stars, they come to certain places and they do, like, stripping, what you know. Depending on what kind of club it is, like, if it's, like, a gentleman's club or something like that, then they'll come and, you know what I'm saying, they'll do their thing or whatever. But, yeah, they get paid to go on tour, to go to different clubs. And you know what I'm saying? They do meet and greets. They do some of them do signings or just they just do picture what your names, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a real thing, like it's a real tour. Then they go on stage, they do their time on stage or whatever, and then after that it's a whole setup and people can go over there and, you know what I'm saying, pay for pictures, merchandise, like all kind of shit. It's like a real tour. Yeah.
Yo, that's wild.
We had Lisa Ann come down here 1 year, and she was at what is that place called? It was either the living room or it was I forgot what the other place is called, but it was one of them. But she came down and she did that, and like, you know what I'm saying, you can go and do all it was it's a wild it's some wild shit.
Yeah, so nah, wild shit is, so she's on tour. Mm-hmm. Man, do you remember where it was? Was it, why do I want to say it was Houston? I don't think it was Houston, but
it might have been Dallas. She was in Texas for sure.
So she's on tour, one of those cities down south, like you said. And the producers and everybody's like, yo, like these girls were, you know, heavy on her. They buy merchandise, they getting autographs, they all in it. And all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, some police officers come up to her. Mm-hmm. And was talking about, you know, Storm, like, we got to arrest you now. I will say, like, her bodyguards, they tried. My man was like, yo, if she going, I'm going. Put handcuffs on me. Mm-hmm. Like, my man was riding the dime for them, Stormy. And so, come to find out, the two of the girls were undercover cops and said that, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that she was putting titties in their face and all that shit like that. One thing that was kind of odd that struck me, but, I mean, you know, I'm guessing she was still in her mode when they said that you put your titties in their face, that's considered assault, sexual assault. And she said, they liked it. I was like, yo, stop
it. I think she was trying to be a badass in that moment. Because of everything that she was going through. Like, we gotta remember, she's going through a trial with, you know what I'm saying, Donald Trump over sexual harassment. She's going through, you know what I'm saying, all of these things in her life, like, because we ain't even got to the part where, like, she was getting death threats. She was getting, there were people trying to run her off the road. Motherfuckers was popping up on her in garages talking about, hey, you know what I'm saying, don't talk about this story. You know what I'm saying, let it go. Tell everybody you was wrong. Like, all kind of shit was happening to her. And I think that's another thing about Glenn, too, that I didn't like, because he knew that this shit was going on, and he acted like a bitch like that, bro, and left her high and dry, and I don't fuck with that. I think that was some whole-ass shit. That was a whole-ass move. And, yeah, I get it. You know what I'm saying? She cheated on you or whatever. That's cool. But I got a feeling that she cheated on you because you was a bitch.
I understand that. What I did not understand, and I didn't even know that this was a thing, that these ladies at the time, because she got arrested, they paid $25,000 to bond her out. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even know it was a thing that you could be in the strip club and press charges for somebody putting titties in your face. Well, I didn't know that was a thing.
This is the thing. Remember, before they talked about that, they talked to those 1-2 dudes. I forgot what they did, but they're talking to those 1-2 dudes. And the one dude was like, yeah, we seen her at the club and da da da, and he was like, yeah, and he got motorboated, and he was like, but it wasn't his choice though. He said it wasn't my choice though, and the other dude was like, I don't think you had a choice to get motorboated on that one. So they were setting it up to make it seem as if like she was just, you know, that was just like one of those things that she do, which, like you said, it's kind of odd that you in a strip club and you bitching and complaining about getting motorboated.
Yeah.
Most strip clubs, you can't even touch them.
Yeah, so this kind of seemed like a privilege. Like, damn, like...
Yeah, like able, she was going to do it, Tyler.
Yeah, so, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So, but in the midst of all this, right, in the midst of her getting arrested and everything else, you know, she's trying to deal with shit going on with her lawyer, trying to make sure, you know, everything is cool and, you know, trial going on. You know, she really is going through a lot of shit. She get in the midst of a divorce. Her husband done left her with her daughter. She done had an affair with dude, but now it ain't popping no more. So that shit over with. It's like everything around her is fucking crumbling. Everything around her is crumbling. Then come to find out that her lawyer is stealing money from her.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
And not only is he stealing money from her, man, my dude out here stealing money from Nike, yo. Like, what is, like, the thing is, I think people get so caught up in ego and greed, dude, mm-hmm. that they're like, and they think that they can outsmart people. Mm-hmm. And it kills me how you have people who really think that they can outsmart the system. Mm-hmm. And I think, for a small part, I think that Stormy thought that she could, too. I think that she thought that she could, in a way, like, outsmart, you know what I'm saying, this whole Trump shit and come Absolutely. Out on top of this. Absolutely. Now, granted, one thing that we didn't mention about her getting arrested was, no, dude, she was in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, Columbus, you're right.
Yeah, she was in Columbus. But she sued them for, and I think she got, I think it was $450,000. But it didn't really matter because, you know, like you said, her lawyer ended up stealing money from her, which was, now it makes sense when she started talking about nobody wanted to be her lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody was too afraid to take her case. Mm-hmm. Then this Michael dude come in. You ain't gotta worry about paying me shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, then you can look at that two ways. You can look at it like, all right, I'm gonna take this case, but this is gonna be the case. Like, I may not get paid from Stormy,
right.
But if we could get this shit to flip in my favor, everybody else is gonna see how good I am, and then I'm gonna get all that money on the back end.
Yeah.
Or you can look at it like, you can look at it that way, but also he sees that there's going to be profits and I'm going to skim off the top
Absolutely.
Of the chip.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what he did. You know what I'm saying? And she started looking at it like, yo, I supposed to got four payments. So like, I only got two.
You only got two so far.
And he,
signature, bro.
Yeah, and then he started, you know what I'm saying, not wanting to answer her phone calls and shit like that. I'm thinking watching this like, damn, like that's fucked up. And then come to find out this dude is doing this to other people, and then he's doing it to fucking Nike and shit. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
well, ultimately, once again, bad decisions. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Bad decision. How do you not have certain things go through you, or at least things that you have to verify before shit gets handled? So ultimately, she ends up losing, right? And now she owes Trump somewhere in the upper six figures, close to $600,000. I believe it was like $2,900,000 or something like that, but it was close to 600. And she pretty much was like SOL. So now you owe this nigga almost $750 million. $750,000, right? You don't have your family. The Nick nigga don't give a fuck about you. All he want to do is get footage. And
you get remarried. Dead.
Yeah,
to a dude that you used to work with.
It's just all around bad shit.
And then, like, and I do want to talk about this. And we've talked about this part before, at least. I mean, maybe not even in the Stormy conversation, mm-hmm. but just how hard these Trump fans ride for him.
Yeah.
To send her the things that they sent her. And I'm not the person that's in the belief of, And I think this is because of just me looking at, you know what I'm saying, through lenses that, you know, see more gray than black and white. But, like, I don't look at porn stars as whores. I just look at it as people who just film themselves having sex. Like,
right.
People, look, man, people out here fucking. You know what I mean?
Every like, day.
You know what I'm saying? Your shit just ain't being aired. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. for you to just sit back and just, you know what I mean, call her the things that you called her. And like going in, I mean, actually threatening this woman, threatening her child. You know what I'm saying? Who ain't mm-hmm. got shit to do with shit.
Right.
And it's just to see how and hear how cruel people are. But then, like I say, ride for a person that you probably never met. He don't know your name. This dude don't fuck with you.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is just wild, man.
Don't forget, it was at a certain point in time where she was actually getting a lot of praise because the Democrats was actually using her to kind of garner some of that attention away from Trump during the election. And, you know, she was going on the nighttime TV shows. She was going on Saturday Night Live. She was, you know, getting interviews left and right. And people was
got the key to the city in San Francisco.
Yeah, had a whole day, a Stormy Daniels day, which was weird as fuck. Because I'm like, what did she get a whole day for? She didn't do nothing, but whatever. And so ultimately, like, she had this time. And I think this is where things started to fall apart. Because as she was living this life of somebody who is, quote unquote, bucking the system, she was still on tour stripping.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, she still was living her everyday life. It's just now it's 1,000 times amplified. And because it is so amplified, right now you're getting people who are on, you know what I'm saying, each side of the fence. You got people talking about how much they love her and she can't do no wrong. And then you got other people on the other side like, yo, get that whore out of here. You know what I'm saying? So it was interesting to see her at her height and then to see her eventually come back crashing down. I think that was a great addition to this documentary. For sure.
I think so as well. And to also, you know, see a woman who, you know, Stormy, one thing I do that we realized about her, Stormy's about that bread. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's really what fucked her up ultimately, is just she kept trying to go after some fucking money.
Yeah. And it backfired big time. Mm-hmm. And now she's at the point, like you said, she owed around like $600,000. And she was like, yo, I'd rather go to jail than to give Trump any of this money. And she's talking about how she feared to lose her life. Well, not her life, but her house. Somebody got her. Now, I will say this, too. Like, and this is just the weirdos that we live among. Mm-hmm. You know, how her address got leaked. And somebody, you know what I'm saying, shot her horse with a rubber bullet. It's just like, really?
Like, but that's just the, I think that don't have nothing to really do with Donald Trump. I think it's more so being in the public eye. You know what I'm saying? And not just the people who were rooting for him and cheering for him. It's just that when you have this image and it's not favorable with the people, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to shake that. And I think that's really what it was. It was just like, because even if you look at like the stuff they're posting, like, yeah, the blonde whore and the such and such whore and some prostitute and whore and prostitute. And that they was using that a lot, but it's like, I mean, what the fuck do you expect? You at the top right now. You're getting all the eyes on you. You're getting all the views. Yeah, you're going to have that. You're going to have a lot of that coming at you. You know what I'm saying? And she just couldn't take it for real.
And just my opinion, I think a lot of the guys who were sending that shit, if Stormy Daniels sent them, you know what I'm saying, a room number,
yeah,
they showing up.
Oh, for sure. Come on, man.
They showing up. All that talk, and she like, all right, you know what I'm saying?
They there.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, yo, man, this was crazy. But to read the captions at the end of this shit, mm-hmm. that be the shit right there to just say, yo, this is America.
Facts.
To see the things that she's facing and the things that Trump is facing, all the sexual assault charges, all the suing people and being sued and all this shit, this motherfucker running for president.
The whole party on your ass. You got motherfuckers popping up at the intersection about to kill you. Cause you, all you said was you slept with Donald Trump.
Crazy.
Yeah, man, that's wild. Crazy. You ready for the fire flames?
Yes, sir. Let's get them.
Let's do it.
Yoga fire, yoga flame.
So I thought that this documentary was pretty cool, very informative, with a whole bunch of, you know what I'm saying, details that was being put out during the time that we kind of didn't know about or whatever, but they definitely did a great job bringing some of those things up and getting detailed with them. Man, I'm not gonna lie, man, I'm going 4. This is a pretty good doc.
Okay. I think that there was a lot of information being shown. I thought there was a lot of footage being shown. I do think that we got some honesty. Mm-hmm. I think we got a pretty good bit of honesty out of Stormy, but I think some of it was, I think that you had to have a little bit of common sense where you kind of read in between the lines and was like, all right, Stormy, like, I know you think you were slick with this one, but if you really think about it, you know what I mean, it's not exactly what you said. I'm gonna go a notch below you at a 3.5.
Still good.
Yeah. Like, it's not bad. And like I said at the beginning of the pod, like, you know what I'm saying, I was just throwing something against the fence to see if something would hit, and ended up being pretty good. Pretty good. I'm not mad at it. I'm not gonna say I did. I learned some shit because I only knew a little bit about this whole Stormy Daniels situation. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot more now, so I'm gonna give it 3.5.
For sure, man. So, sheesh. This is a wild ass story. But let's go ahead and jump into the coming soon.
Man, let's do it.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
All right, so next episode is going to be, you know what I'm saying, pretty fun, man. We're doing a horror film, and this is called Talk to Me. I haven't seen this yet. Have you seen this one yet?
I have not. I have not seen it yet.
The trailer is what caught me. You know what I'm saying? The trailer is what caught me, so... We're going to get into Talk to Me on the next episode. So you guys, if you get a chance, make sure you watch it. And if you already watched it, make sure you listen to the episode. But if you enjoyed this episode, if you didn't enjoy this episode, if you too were tired of hearing about Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump, and you felt like the world knowing that Donald Trump slept with Stormy Daniels was punishment enough, hit us up on socials. On Instagram and Twitter at View9Pod, on Facebook VA Pod Watch Group, on YouTube you can hit us up in the comments, and you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/viewersanonymous. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter at Scoots Bronson. I have a link to my bio. You can follow me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at S.Foster8 on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Well, I don't know what's going on with my @28MinutesOrLess Pod on Instagram. It signed me out, and I can't get back in. I don't know what's going on with that account at the moment. But follow 28 Minutes or Less on all major platforms. Last episode is Trust Issues with me and the guy, Scoots Bronson, with the whole Drake saga. And that's all I got, man.
That's what's up, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, your support is greatly appreciated. There could be no us without you. But until the next episode, like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut.